Go ahead and turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Some of these things will come up throughout the sermon here, but do just be in prayer specifically for our ministry opportunities when we return. I would love to tell you I've got a five-point plan to change West Africa. I can't say that. I wouldn't even bother trying. But I will say that the way that these things work there is extremely organic. So there are more opportunities that come down the river to you than you could possibly do anything about. And so we will go. We will be working with the national partners that we're already working closely with, and we will see what comes from that. And so please be in prayer that the Lord will give guidance and direction and grace in that. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to preach about the Great Commission because I'm a missionary and that's what we do. And hopefully we'll be reminded of some things. You're not going to hear anything new this evening at all. But hopefully it'll be an encouragement and a challenge to you as well as to my own heart and life to remember why we're doing the things that we do. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, I don't think that it's fair to ever say that there's any point of Scripture that's maybe more important than any other because it's all one cohesive unit. But this is definitely the culmination of an era, okay? This is the end of Jesus's earthly ministry. These are his last words to his followers on this earth. He is going away. He'll come back again someday, but it'll be a very different set of circumstances. And before he went, he wanted to make sure that those that loved him and believed in him and followed him would know exactly what they were supposed to be doing while he was gone. I remember when my mother and father would leave to go maybe on one of those few rare date nights or something, we would have instructions about what was supposed to be happening while they were gone. Now, spoiler alert, that didn't really work out very well for any party involved, but I hope that when we see these last instructions from Jesus Christ that we take them more seriously than my 10-year-old self did when my mom said, now you need to be doing this while we're gone. But think of it as that. These are his last instructions. This is what we are to be busy about in his absence. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he says it very clearly. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. My friends, God has delegated the Great Commission to you, and he has provided you with everything that you need in order to fulfill his commands. God is not an unjust God. He's not a sadistic father that gives us a task that we cannot complete. He's not the foreman on the job that sends the noob to go get a board stretcher. That's not who God is. He gave us a valid command, and he has given us every promise that we need in order to ensure that his will is done on earth even as it is in heaven. So we're going to be reminded of that this evening. We'll bow in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this. Our Father God, we thank you for making us to see this day. God, we thank you for the opportunity to stand before you. We thank you for life. We thank you for the blessings, the many blessings that you have given us. Father, we are so blessed in a place like this. Lord, we pray that your hand will be moving and that your spirit will be working in our hearts to encourage us and challenge us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of the gospel. You've given us so much, so much. And to whom much has been given, much will be required. And I pray that we will be reminded of that this evening. Thank you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Four things this evening from Matthew chapter 28. We will move quickly. Number one, our action is assumed. When we look at this command, we see that our action is assumed. Now, there's something that you don't speak about this in every place that you're at, but in a church like this one, with the bench depth and the theological understanding that we have in Maranatha Baptist Church, we understand that in the Bible wasn't written in English. Brother Hankey, I'm not seeing him actually, but he talks about these things every Sunday school. The underlying Greek text, when we see this command, that word go is actually a participle. And it's been changed just a little bit for smooth English reading. But it literally says, going teach. Going teach and baptize. going, make disciples. So Jesus Christ, when he gives this command, he's expecting that his disciples are going to go. That the moment he leaves, their feet will be moving. That is what is implied. Now, you don't understand grammar? That's fine. Maybe you slaughter the King's English worse than, you know, we did in the Revolutionary War 200 years ago. That's okay. That's fine. This is a command. And when God gives a command, he expects obedience. When my mom said the basement needs to be clean by the time I get back home, that was non-negotiable. If that basement was not clean, there was going to be blood and tears and agonizing cries for mercy. And when God himself looks at his disciples and says, go and teach and baptize and make disciples, he's not saying if you feel like it, this would be cool. He's not saying if you have spare time, maybe you could do this. He's not saying if your college degree doesn't get you a good job and you wash out, then you can fall back and be a missionary. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, go and teach and baptize and make disciples. He is assuming that you will obey what he says. And I think that would be a good idea. When the God of all the universe looks down and says, do something, who are you to disregard that? You will stand before him someday. I will stand before him someday. We will give an account on how we handled the commands that he has given us in the time that he has blessed us with. Our action is assumed. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8, Paul writes, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. He would reiterate once again that we are bought with a price. Our job is to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Our action is assumed. Number two, our message is mandated. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You go to some of these places and you see the overwhelming needs and you're just blown away. Okay, what do we do? What do we fix first? I know sometimes you go on a job site and you look at everything that's been done wrong, and the description that was given to you is one thing. But when you get there, you're like, wow, we're going to have to fix this and this and this and this and this and all of these things. And where do we start? And you step out into the world around us, even in a wonderful first world place like here, there are so many problems and the blinders get peeled off your eyes and you say, where do we begin? What wound do we patch first? The gospel has to remain the central thing. Right. All of these other things, they are good. They are beautiful, they are humanitarian, and if they're done properly, they draw people to the love of Jesus Christ. If I don't prove to you that I love you now, then why are you going to listen to me when I say that I love your eternal soul someday? Okay, so all of these things have a good place, but the gospel must remain the central thing. I've assembled well-digging machines. We've talked about literacy programs. We give out reading material. I've put roofs on people's homes. I've paid for people to go to college. I've paid for children to go through school. But those things are not the central focal point. And when we come together as a church and we look at ministry, the gospel must remain the central point. That is the message that we have been sent to give. And if you save the body and you never save the soul, all you did was send two arms and two legs and a very intelligent head to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Paul is answering this question. He says, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. He says, the religious people over here, they have their questions. The irreligious, enlightened people over here, they have their questions. Those two, that dichotomy has always existed and will exist until Jesus Christ claims his throne. And he says, all of they want this, but we preach Christ. We need to remember that our message is mandated. It's not our own, and that's a very liberating thing because I have no answers, and neither do you. But we have a God that does, and we preach his word, Souls will be saved, lives will be changed, civilizations rise and fall by the blessings of God, and that comes from the gospel and the gospel alone. Our action is assumed, our message is mandated, but number three, God's power is provided. These first two things, this is what we've been told to do. This is our side of the deal. This is our responsibility, and God gives that to us first. But then he says, I'm giving you what you need. His power is provided to us. And notice that Jesus starts with that. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He didn't say go, and then, oh, by the way, I've got you. He started out with that promise to us. You know, think of the boundless power of God that we see in the scriptures. We know the miracles of Christ. We know the miracles of the apostles. We read through the Bible and we see who God is and what he can do, what he has done, and we have his promises of what he wants to do in and through us. He said, greater things than his own works we would do because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You know, and I have a lot of things to say here in the notes. We're going to skip over it. Let me just say that most of it, honestly, has to do with just showing up. You just show up. You just be a willing body, a warm body. We used to joke at work all the time. It's like, if we could just have a warm body, we could get something done here. You know, in all honesty, I think that God looks down from heaven sometimes and just says, look, if I just have a warm body, I could use it. Because that's all that he needs. Your college degree does not make you valuable to God. Right. The money that you have does not make you valuable to God. Your social background or your ability to speak or present, none of those things make you valuable to God. If you are willing, that's what makes you valuable to God. And it is God's power that will do it. I was having a conversation with my wife a few days ago, and this was a blessing and an encouragement to me because it's one thing to sit back with a little bit of rest and say, wow, this is everything that's been done. Praise God for that. It's another thing to be there with all of the demands and think, I'm sick, I'm falling asleep during the middle of the day, and there's so much to do, and I can't get it done. There's a big difference between those perspectives. And my wife was speaking with me, and she actually said something that encouraged me, and she said, you know, some of these ministries, when it first happened, I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, there's no way that this will work. And there's no way that this will actually, that anything will come from this, or that you will be able to do this with all of these other things. But it happened, and it's working, and God's using it. And that has nothing to do with me. It has to do with a warm body that said, I'll go, and people, other warm bodies that said, I will give, and I will pray. It has to do with those that are willing and those that show up. So if you want to see God's power in your life, show up. Be available. Amen. God will use it. He will bless it. And at the end of the day, you will sit back and say, wow, I have no idea how this happened, because it wasn't you, it was God through you. And he gave you that blessing of being a part. Our action is assumed. Our message is mandated, but God's power is provided. And finally this evening, God's presence is promised. Verse 20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, praise the Lord when he tells you to go. He's not expecting you to go alone. You know, there's the song that says, God's grace. I was playing on the piano the other day, actually. God's grace will not lead me. No, God's will not lead me where his grace will not keep me. I have to be careful when I quote that, because at camp we always sing the version that God's will not lead me where his grace will not feed me. And sometimes the stuff he feeds you, and then you don't really want to eat that. But God's not going to send you anywhere where he's not going to go with you as well. He will always be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise that God has given to us. I think of the example of Moses in Exodus 4 when he raised his objections to what God was telling him to do. And here he's speaking with a burning bush. And sometimes I'm like, my man, you're looking at a bush that's on fire, but it's not on fire. And there's a booming voice coming out of said bush that told you that it's God himself. And he's done all of these, you know, he made you throw your rod on the ground and it turned into a snake. And then he made you pick it up and it turned back into a rod. And he did the in and out thing with the leprosy and the coat. And by this point, you would think you would just shut up and say, yes, sir. But no, you have all these objections. And it's easy to look at that and get on Moses' case. But myself, I do the same thing. It's like, God, you brought me all this way. You've been faithful here. You've been faithful here. And in the darkest times of my life here, you've been there for me and you brought me through. But still, I doubt you. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm just the one with a mic this evening. God told Moses, he said, the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Jesus said the same thing to his disciples when he sent them out in Luke chapter 12. He said, the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. When you go for God, you do not go alone. And when you're giving somebody else's message, the burden of the truth does not lie on you. And that is an extreme blessing when you find yourself in another culture where you're just learning to understand how people think because it's so completely different. And you will never, ever completely belong there. But now this woman is coming to you and asking life-changing questions about her and her walk with God and her relationships with her family. And you're like, I'm a 30-year-old white kid from North Carolina. What do I tell her? The truth, the message that God has to say. And in those moments, the scripture that you've memorized, the study that you've done, the biblical truth that's been poured into your life, God can and will use that if you're willing to do it for Him. So as we conclude this evening, just remind myself, as we've seen from God's word here, that the Great Commission, as it relates to you and myself, our responsibility is to take action. We've been told to go. I hope that you will. I'm not going to lecture you on what that looks like for you. That's between you and God. God sent me across the ocean to a country called Liberia. He might send you somewhere else. He might be sending you here. There's a lot of young people in the church service here this evening. You're about to go to camp. You're about to spend a week, hopefully, away from your phone and the AI and the TikToks and all those other things. And I hope that you'll take some time to ask God what He wants you to do with your life. Because if you want to be miserable and broken and lonely and unfulfilled, follow the path where you seek after the money and what you think you want to do with your life and say no to God, and then you'll regret that thing later. But if you want to live a good life, ask the Lord where He wants you to go and what He wants you to do. He doesn't send everybody to Africa to eat bugs, I promise. But whatever life God sends you to live, it will be the best life that you could enjoy. Yes. That's a Bible promise. Our action is assumed. Our responsibility is to proclaim Christ. Our message is mandated, but we don't need to worry about anything. Nothing's impossible because God's power has been provided to us. God's power is provided to you, and you don't need to be afraid. Whether you're standing and speaking with people that you know and love and resonate, or whether you're sitting in the driver's seat on a dark road with armed robbers looking in the window at you, you don't need to be afraid in any of those circumstances because God's presence is always with you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity we've had to spend a few moments being reminded of your promises to us. But Lord, those promises, they weren't just feel-good statements for Pinterest quotes or the inside of sympathy cards. God, you gave us these promises to encourage us and enable us to carry out a mission. And Father, I pray that you will help us this evening, that your Holy Spirit will work in our individual hearts and lives to show us what that mission looks like for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today that maybe they've become disillusioned, Or maybe they become distracted. Maybe they become discouraged with living their life for you. Lord, I pray that you would remind them this evening that even just shining a bright, godly light in the dark place they find themselves in today, even that is a form of going. I pray you'd encourage them. Lord, if there's someone here today that maybe they are actively turning away from what you are calling them to do, Father, I pray that you will make them miserable. I pray that you'll chase after them. I pray that you will follow them even as you did Jonah until they too turn back to your plan for their life, where they can find the fulfillment and the peace and the promises that you've always had for them. Lord, I know that there are many here this evening that are just seeking to live their lives for you. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you guide them. I pray that you would give them opportunities to share the gospel. I pray you give them opportunities to be the light in this Jerusalem. I pray that you give them opportunities to see your power in and through them. I pray that you would bless them with that. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them with your presence. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for your desire that all men would be saved. Thank you for allowing us to have some small part in seeing your will done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Thank you for trusting us with the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray these